Massaquan School District Board of Education Committee of the Whole meeting for January 20th, 2015. Our opening statement: pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Massaquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, could we please have the roll call?
Mr. Cattani.
Here.
Mr. Clayton.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma. Mr. Fiore. Mr. Gardner.
Here.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mrs. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Walsh.
Here.
Mrs. Walsh. Shane McNamara. Craig Lappin. We have quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Serino is unable to attend this evening. Our mission statement: Massaquan School District mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public: oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined Committee of the Whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of December 16, 2014, and the reorganization meeting and closed executive session of January 5, 2015. Closed session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed session no longer exist. Will we take an action on the minutes?
No, not until a week from tonight.
Presentations. I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun for the presentations.
Now we have the presentations for the Student and Teacher of the Month. And if we can go to the podium. Start every month off with focusing on exactly how and we choose our students of the month. The students that we chose come to us as models for their peers. They're academically motivated and they demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom and the positive school attitude. They're all involved in extracurricular activities and they perform school and community service activities. The student population at Manasquan is just excellent. And to see students come to us every month, rising to the top of that excellent student group is just very admirable. And I want to compliment every student that is here this evening. And as I look around, we don't have many time. All the students that we do recognize are also recognized by our Rotary Club, and they do have breakfast. I believe it's the first week of every month, and I have an opportunity to speak with them and their parents, and it's really nice. So with that, we have our High School Students of the Month for the month of December. From the high school, we have Sydney Osso. Is Sydney here this evening? But we will definitely make sure that she gets her certificate and her Wally bucks as well that are being handed out this evening. And also, Julie Hohenstein, a junior. I don't see Julie here this evening as well. Maria Bennett, sophomore, and Terry Puma was our freshman. We will definitely get them their certificates as well as their lollipops. And now, without further ado, we have our elementary school student of the month of December. I'm so proud to present the one student that showed up this evening. Barbie Zhang. Barbie, please come forward.
That's good. Make it, it's a test.
Thank you very much for coming out on this inclement evening. And come on back here, we'll take a picture so we can actually put it in the newspaper, right?
Yeah, sure. I got it.
Please? Thank you. The High School Teacher of the Month of December was Paul Battaglia. And the High School Teacher of the Month is chosen by the senior who's also chosen that month. So the senior then gets the opportunity to pick their favorite teacher. And Mr. Battaglia was chosen the month of December. He does a wonderful job of work. So those are the students and the teacher of the month of December. So thank you. For I put the screen up. Oh, we have the Garrison, the, okay, I got you.
Our discussion items for the January 27, 2015 agenda. I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Cajun.
We have several things to focus on regarding education, curriculum, and technology. First, in your packet you'll find for New Jersey Monthly Top Schools of 2014 criteria, the criteria that is utilized by New Jersey Monthly when they rank the state's high schools. This question was posed to me last month, and we investigated it, and we found out exactly what we had to do to be included. We've reached out to Leafline Associates, an independent research company in Ridgewood, who analyze the data that's presented to them regarding each school, and they do the ranking. So we emailed them and called them twice, and waiting for them to get back to us, because we want to raise the level of emphasis of what we do here to ensure that they do look at us. So if there are any questions about this, from school environment to student performance to vocational schools, or the special note on the bottom, sure.
Have we submitted before? Because we are in the rankings.
I'm sure you've submitted before.
Right. Okay.
But my question is what we have to do in order, from their perception, with the data that we have.
Where can we improve in our
yes.
data? Okay. And someone's going to, okay.
Yeah. And that's why I want to speak
yep.
to them directly. Or if they're
percentage
not
of
correctly
weighting
looking
and stuff.
At our
yeah.
data.
Yeah.
So I was surprised. Give you a minute just in case there are any questions. If they do report back to me, I'll at the next committee of a whole, I'll let you know, or I will email the entire board to let them know exactly what they said to us.
And then after that, can we have somebody evaluate what we've submitted, where we fall, how we can improve?
I'll ask them if they'll do that for me.
Well, I don't know if they'll do it. If not, do we have someone who we think maybe an administrator?
Yeah, I think we can look at the data and see exactly what we think and how we can improve that.
Sure.
We could do that for maybe
I'm
the
sure there's going to be. I'm sure there's going to be a process.
Meeting.
Yeah, it's a process gathering information and stuff once they hear back from them. But
okay. Also, a question was posed to me about the possibility of intramural programs. And in focusing this question with both of the building principals, They don't feel we have a need for an intramural program as we speak because the recreation department in town does such a good job. They didn't feel we'd have a large participation in that. So, any questions about that? There's also a question about the tuition rates for the St. Dennis School students. And in your packet, you received the tuition rates for the Manasquan Elementary School as well as Manasquan High School, and also a note on the bottom. According to the contract for the employees at Manasquan, effective with all new hires as of 7/1/2005, with recommendation of the superintendent and approval of the board at that particular time, the bargaining unit members may enroll their children in the high school and elementary school at half the annual pupil tuition rate. Then you can see the subnote, prior to 2005, high school was tuition free and elementary school was half tuition. So that's the way the contract reads, and that was the answer to that particular question. At this particular time, is the board in favor of revisiting the concept of the tuition for St. Dennis students, or if we felt that that discussion played itself out the last time we talked about it? I will be meeting with Father Ed. I believe that we have a walkthrough on Friday, Lynn?
Yes.
With the architects, the engineer, the board president, going through the facility.
Did we get a more updated estimate or size, class sizes? I know we kind of rattled off some different numbers ranging. And
okay, I'd be more than happy to bring to the board a itemized list of exactly what the numbers are this year and what our prediction is the next year and the following year for each grade level and every class that we have.
How do you predict that?
Well, I usually sit down and start with the live birth rate going back to the year when our eighth grade children were born and moved back according to that up to the current time. That's why we predicted for 18 students and 17 students are two preschool classes for next year. Then we actually take the populations of our classes now and just move them up a year and then see how many students of that age group are in there from that cohort according to what we predicted our live birth rate would be. The best predictor, I think, that we can have is live birth rate for our sending districts as well as Manasquan itself for the high school and Manasquan itself for the elementary school. So it's live birth rate really that's a linchpin of that determination.
And we're going to be going over the demographic report. Right?
Is actually, the 27th, he'll be here. Yeah, Whitehall will be here to present the demographic report that you had, which is in line with our look at the live birth rate. I think, Lynn, we're about 25 students off?
Roughly. Mm-hmm. Roughly.
That's a great word, roughly. That puts me correct, no matter how it is, if it's 26 or 30, but 25, just about, I thought it was.
I was more interested in the St. Dennis School offering them our schooling. Like what their numbers are by grade compared to what our classrooms are in the elementary school.
What their class size is?
What we want versus how many are coming out of there when it closes.
Oh, okay. So what you would
like
need
then. Like interest-wise on the other side.
Yeah. I asked them for that too. They haven't gotten back to me.
I'd like the class size by grade versus if we can even fit them in or if we have to add more. And then you say architect and that like, brings up another thing for more additional room just to take on these, and how long will that last?
The architect is walking through that facility to see exactly if that meets state standards. He's not going to be looking through our facility. Once we saw exactly what our live birth rate dictated for our enrollment next year and the following several years, then we could see where we would be in regards to our own class size, so we could see how many students we would be allowed according to our mandates except into that grade level. For instance, if we had 15 students in third grade and we wanted to cap those classrooms at 17, we'd say that we have availability for 6 or 8 students in that grade level.
In district or including St. Dennis?
Including St. Dennis. Yeah, that's a hypothetical. I'm not saying we have 15 in third grade.
Right.
Frank, are you talking about, obviously the kids, right now they don't live in Madison. Are you talking about maybe giving them a special tuition deal?
Yes.
I mean, some of them live in Madison, though.
Very few, Colleen, very few.
Not many.
And I think some of the people in the public got up in the very recent past. People have been forced to move from Madison to Brielle and had a child in the seventh or eighth grade and asked, you know, I put three kids through, can I get half tuition? And they were told no.
Okay, that's
I think it may be a hornet's nest, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm all for helping them, but I think realistically, Frank, if they want to stay Catholic, there's going to be options, and there's public schools for, I mean, I'd like to fill the classrooms, don't get me wrong, but we may be creating something of an issue too, you know.
Okay.
My point is, would it create a situation versus our sending districts that can do that versus our paying students that do that now versus our St. Dennis children that we're taking in?
I mean, they pay now. I mean, I think the determination would be if we have empty seats and we could accommodate the St. Dennis student who would like to come here, is it possible to put that together? I think we're not looking to eliminate anyone, or we're looking to create a burden for anyone. We're looking to, at one point, fill empty seats with tuition dollars, and at the end of the day, help out the St. Dennis student that would look for that.
Rate, though,
I think.
Correct, but if it's an empty seat,
it's a
positive.
Yeah. No, my point is there have been numerous instances where the seats were empty. People were forced to move to Brielle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They said for the next 2 years, can we pay? And
right.
They said
right.
You have to pay full. So my whole point is you bring in people from out of Madison and say you pay half.
Right.
I don't see the fairness in it.
I can appreciate what you're saying. But we're just dealing with today's issue today.
Well, I think what Colleen is saying is she's saying, how many tuition students do we have at the elementary school now?
I don't even.
Do we know?
Do we have any?
Oh, that's, how many?
Currently?
Do we have one or two.
One or two.
Yeah.
So
a
I think what, I think what Colleen's saying is, well, what is the fairness that they're paying $13.9 and now someone's going to come in and
everything.
Pay $5?
That's,
yeah.
But the walkthrough and the demographics on how many students, you know, you expect versus offering St. Dennis half price, mm-hmm. I mean, there's issues there. That's all I'm saying.
I'm assuming we went through it. I mean, is it even legal to do this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is that you're setting a precedent. And if you set a precedent moving forward, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, because what you're saying is that, oh, let's help these kids out for 2 years, because
right.
sixth grade, seventh, eighth grade. But, and also, the other thing is that I would be concerned about, and Mike might be able to address this, is that you have a contractual agreement with our teachers here, where they can, you know, send their children here mm-hmm. at a rate. So I just think that, you know, if you set a rate that's lower than what they are, they're going to have another issue too.
It's a collective bargaining
right.
issue.
Right.
And I, you know, I, my thought is this, and it can be completely my opinion, but we've got schools around here in direct vicinity that actually are sending districts that last year when it came to budget time actually went out and said we're making a cognitive effort in which to lower our class sizes. We're going to budget so that we can lower our class sizes, and we're on the other hand going, well, we got empty seats, so fill them. I mean, you can think they're empty and that's a positive. I personally don't think maxing out a classroom is a positive, for my opinion. You know, I'm hearing people say like, well, that's good. We either have no one there or we have someone there, and let's fill it up. I personally don't think, in general, you know, we're talking about that in strategic planning. You know, what is our general concept? My general concept is, in general, small class sizes are more beneficial to the children that are in them, in general.
But that's an opinion. I mean, that's
my opinion. That's
yeah,
my opinion.
That's not
right.
Everybody's
so,
opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree.
Well, on an opinion side, and I agree, if you let St. Dennis children come in and pay half, what happens to, now we let point kids play our academics, and you have Belmar sending, you have all these sending districts that may turn around and go, well, I want my kid to go to Manasquan, especially in seventh and eighth grade when we know they're going to high school. So it's just something to remember, that's all. I'm all for helping St. Dennis, mm-hmm. but you're giving it at half price, and you have sending districts that are all coming here after that haven't been given that opportunity.
Do we know what the tuition is at St. Dennis right now?
5,000, right?
4,200.
4,200.
Oh, even
is it
4,200? So half.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it's 4,200.
It's almost half of
but
what
don't,
we're
paying. No,
it's
don't we
more
subsidize
than half.
More than half of
so
what
we
do.
So
we not subsidize some of that? Don't we?
We it's very little. We do sending district. Do we subsidize because they're a Catholic school in our district? Do we subsidize any of that
equipment?
They receive
right.
a small amount of non-public funds yeah. through our federal grants. Yes, small amount.
Grants.
So it's more than $8,600 less than what somebody else would pay, or what we're paying as taxpayers per student. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, would it be is it feasible to allow them to come at half? Will it cover our costs? That's another thing. Would it cover our costs?
It depends.
I mean,
it depends on what
exactly.
you consider
what
to be
service,
costs.
And it depends
right.
what's
right.
the services. Now,
right.
if we, you know, my concern is, you know, a lot of my concern is the class sizes. And then, mm-hmm. okay, well, this year we've now said to them, first grade, say it's a first grader, we'll keep you through to eighth grade. Mm-hmm. Well, the class sizes, what if there's an influx? Mm-hmm. Now we have to add in a class size and take on that. I just don't look at it. It's not the storm where people were displaced. They have opportunities of going to their home school.
And I think I think it's very noble, but I think they'll either exercise looking into another Catholic school or probably going to a grammar school, maybe.
We may not have any student that wants to come here from St. Dennis.
Correct.
This is just an offer.
Correct.
But there may not be any, or maybe one or two. You know, I don't know. I can't imagine that they'd all been coming.
I did tell Father Ed that I would revisit. That's why I revisited tonight. But I feel that I think that we can bring this to a conclusion. I don't feel that, I feel the sentiment's the same. So I think we'll just move forward. And I won't even broach the subject of the tuition coming here. I mean, it's simple. We're concerned about class size. And we're concerned about maintaining the tuition rate that we have. So I don't see a need to continue the discussion, what I'm saying, next month.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with everyone?
One more comment is you have a December 19th letter from the state where our support services are over. The state medium, but the district is over. Our administrative costs are over in our budget. And the legal services we can bypass because I understand those. But, you know, we're over on our state review already on our budget. So when you say you're giving them half price and we're already over on our per pupil budget, that's an issue as well.
True. That is correct. That the state, and we'll talk about that at budget time, exactly why that happened. Okay, good.
Frank,
yeah.
All this talk about various academies, would it be impractical to think theoretically about going to St. Dennis and seeing if we could use their facility? Is it too far displaced from high school?
No. We currently are in discussions with them to talk to them. That's why we're going Friday, to look at the facility. And I need to know exactly from the county and the architect's view and the engineer, do those classrooms meet state mandates for us, or do they take a lot of renovation? I had a second meeting with Father Ed and two members from his Board of Education to discuss the possibility of leasing the facility and or purchasing, and they're more concerned with a short or long-term lease agreement. I think that's what the diocesis would like to do of Trenton. So I'm with you 1,000%. It makes a lot of sense for us to look at those areas as possibly a STEM middle school leading into an engineering high school. I mean, that would be a perfect facility for it from the outside. I don't know about the inside looking at it.
Do private schools have to go along with the state requirements for buildings like
no,
we do?
No, they do not. That's why we have to look at it. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a great, good idea. Okay. Thank you. All right.
Yes.
Update on future academies. In your packet as well is just a snapshot of the academy enrollment and their estimated numbers. As we look at the academies for next year. The Engineering Academy will be a reality. The following year, we're in discussions for the Criminal Justice Academy, as well as the following year after that, the Fine and Performing Arts Academy. But I just wanted you to take a look at those students that, you know, as of we speak, there are 121 estimated numbers of students who are out in academies. Will we get all those students to come back? I don't think so. However, I think we can get the majority of them. And that's why I want to offer the Manasquan resident the opportunity to either come to our academy, as well as the sending districts, or these. They'll still have the opportunity to go to these academies, but I would like to facilitate our community with academies that I feel would do the students well. So, any questions about that at all?
So we do a similar type of testing that the kids would do, that they do for the, or is it going to be more?
That's a great question. What I think I would like to do is develop a committee, once the academies are structured, to develop what the requirements would be to come in. And it would be very much like the requirements that we have now for the finance and the health academy that we have.
One thing to think of is too, just especially getting going and getting forward. I know that with the, I believe, right, with the academies, they limit the how many tests they can sit for.
Yes.
Maybe,
one.
Maybe we
choose one.
Maybe we allow.
Right.
Because then it would give them more opportunity to make a choice instead of having the stress prior to the test to say, I'm only sitting for this one. Mm-hmm. They might feel, you know, might be an option. If they don't pass the biotech one, and then they've taken three other tests here, they go, oh, you know what? Instead of going to private, I can be in these academies in Manasquan. Mm-hmm.
And then when the choice is a situation, again, you'll earmark how many seats you have for each academy for the choice. So you will be in control of that. So yes. Any other questions about the academies? And also the final exam schedule is item number 13. Right. It's an action item that's on tonight's, but I felt that you wanted to take a look at it, to answer any questions before you voted on it tonight. It's been the process here to not put half days on your calendar, and I'm going to suggest that any half days that we have, that I think we should put them on the calendar. These are half days that were not on the calendar. And when I saw that, I felt they had to go in front of the board, and that's why you're seeing them tonight. As you can see, Thursday, January 27th, and Friday, January 23rd, is the final exam schedule for the high school. Now, even though it says 8:02 p.m., both schools get out. Huh? 2:08.
2:08.
Thanks. That's...
It's really 2008. 2:08. I'm like, I can't follow what he's saying.
Been a great week for me. I hope we have it on tape. Anyway, 8 minutes after 2 on Thursday and Friday, we get out, which makes it a full day. So we really didn't have to do this tonight as a half a day, but the buses are coming here to pick up the children half a day. So you are looking at half a days for that. So
I don't understand what passing means. 7:30 to 9:30 and then 9:30.
Passing means walking through the hallway. Any questions about that? I just really, it's on here tonight so you can actually see exactly what we're doing, and it's transparent for everybody. And in the future, I'd like to put all half days on the calendar before they, so the community knows well in advance that they're having half days rather than on the 21st, when we're having it on the 22nd, or so on and so forth. Good. Any questions? If not, that's all I have for education, curriculum, and technology. Lynn, finance?
Yes. At the December board meeting, the board approved adding 34 cameras to our network, and those cameras will be going in the high school, the elementary school, and also the parking lot of the administrative office building. After the December board meeting, we requested quotes on the financing, and three quotes were received, ranging from 2.27% to 8.96%. A week from tonight at the regular board meeting, we'll be recommending the approval of U.S. Bank Corp. Equipment Finance at 2.27%. Once the documents are executed, we can begin the project. This is a three-year lease purchase, and there's no other fees associated with this lease. The vendors that quoted on the lease financing are VAR Resources. They came in at 8.96%. Kansas State Bank at 2.92%, and U.S. Bank Corp. at 2.27%. The RFQ was sent out from Hunterdon County Ed Services Commission, and they sent the RFQ out to 10 potential small ticket lessors, and we have three that quoted this evening. And there were no fees from Hunterdon County to do this for us. Are there any questions on that item?
Can we get a list of the contractors that bid this? Bid the work to install the cameras, the contractors?
We actually quoted the work ourselves, and Mr. Place is in the audience. Would you mind refreshing my memory who the contractor is?
The contractor, the board directs the contract with the CDWG, right, because it's covered by a state, or excuse me, a Middlesex Regional Cooperative Agreement. Right. So, I believe the actual vendor that does the work is called LTW. They've done work for us before in the district.
So the contractor will report to the district. This is just the lease, the financing right portion of the purchase. Next is an update on the in-house counsel. A survey was sent out through New Jersey Association of School Business Officials to 870 professionals throughout the state asking if their board has an in-house counsel. Three districts responded to me regarding having an in-house counsel, and they are South Orange, Maplewood, Patterson, and Jersey City. Last week, a follow-up survey was sent to those three districts to gather more detailed information on their situation. As of today, I do not have the responses from those districts. So I will provide more information as the surveys arrive. Any questions on that update? Okay. Next is an update on Synergistic, which is in your agenda this evening. We will be holding interviews this Thursday, the 22nd, and we did have an information afternoon on the 8th of January where Synergistic came in here and presented a very nice presentation to anyone that wished to attend and anyone that was interested in the position. It was sparsely attended, but it's not so much the number of people that come to the presentation as hopefully the right person came to the presentation. So as we conduct the interviews, we're hoping to have a candidate to put forth to you a week from this evening. And the last, not last, that was the last item under finance. Moving on to building and grounds. TextNet met this afternoon with Mr. Bigley around 4 o'clock. He did contact me and let me know that the homeowners were present at the meeting, and a mutual location, which goes in accordance to what the board determined last month, was arrived at. They're coming back out tomorrow to move the poles in accordance with that conversation. So as you know, the poles are, two poles are being slid down. And soil testing. In your Friday packet, there was an email between Bill Edwards and myself regarding his recommendation for soil testing. And the reason he's asking that we have limited soil testing is to collect samples in random locations to look for signs of pervasive soil contaminants. The cinder running track area would be included as one of the locations. We did provide to him the two reports that we had in our files, one from Mazur and one from Matrix. Their engineering reports. They were helpful, but the soil studies did not include testing for contamination. So because the testing will run between $10,000 and $15,000, he wanted me to have this conversation with you this evening, and a week from tonight when he's here to be part of our presentation on the proposed referendum project, if you had any follow-up questions for him, he said he'd be happy to answer them before we move on with this soil testing. Yes.
What did we pay for recently? And what I mean, this predates you, but with Dave Erickson and all, what did, I know we were going to build a retaining wall, but I thought there was rather extensive soil testing.
Yes, there were. That was one of the reports that I referred to. There was one done when Dave Erickson, Matrix, was your engineer.
That wasn't tested at all for contaminants?
That's what he's saying. They were helpful, but they really, the reports didn't look for what he wants to look for in the soil.
For $7,800.
That's, yes.
On Matrix.
And that's,
right.
We did not get the information. I don't know what the contract said because I don't have it. But that was $7,800 that went nowhere, and now we want 10 to 20 more.
I don't know that it went nowhere. It was partial. He wants to go a step further.
What did the report say that he, did he ever give us a report?
Did whoever give us a report?
Matrix data.
Yes, and Mr. Bill Edwards, our current engineer, mm-hmm. was given both of the reports. One was from Mazur, which was the first engineer, and one was from Dave Erickson, which was the second engineer. So he has both of those reports, and he's reviewed both of them. Now, he's asking the board, he's recommending this soil testing. And because of the large dollar number attached to it, I mean, he wants to discuss this with you a week from tonight, but he asked me just to have this conversation this evening as a precursor to his conversation on Tuesday.
And I salute what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just at a loss for what we had done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have any issue with him wanting to do it by the numbers. I think that's the way to do it. I just don't understand.
Maybe it wasn't as extensive.
So, yes, that's
Erickson one probably not as extensive.
If you recall, I don't. We didn't even vote on what transpired with Erickson. Yeah. That was an unauthorized directive. So I'm just curious. It would be nice to know. Could we get a copy of that report?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think Mr. Edwards is going to be able to explain the difference in what he wants to do as opposed to what was done.
I don't fault Bill at all for doing that. I'm just saying, you don't want redundancy, especially as Colleen said, you're talking about what you're talking about.
I like the song, though.
One of his points.
Let it rip, you know.
I think this was also before.
I think it's for you,
Jim. That's all right, Jim. If this was my classroom, I'd be getting about a 2 tonight, so that's okay. I'll take that, too. So
take a little pressure off you. That's all I'm saying.
I'm liking it. Good.
One of his points that he made in the email was that, you know, if something is found, God forbid, at least that gives the board an opportunity to budget for that within the referendum project as opposed to not doing the testing, doing it after, and then you don't have the budget to do whatever you need to do to correct the soil issue.
And Lynn, to be clear, I don't object at all, but I just want to, I mean, it's kind of water over the falls. I just really wonder what we paid for. I'd like to see what was done. You know, I mean, what Bill is saying, I think we do. You know, mm-hmm. I only speak for myself, but.
I'm sure he's going to explain mm-hmm. why the Erickson ones doesn't cover what we need now. I'm sure he's going to, I hope so.
Well, I would like to see the contract, mm-hmm. what we ordered, and the report. $7,800 that went nowhere is a lot of money. And how long did that report take to come once we figured out we paid them and no report came and then we got a report?
But Colleen, just for the record, you weren't here. We didn't even direct him. That he was told to do that.
I understand that. But somebody ordered it and we paid for it and we didn't get it until we pushed for it. Now we have it.
Well, you have to be for the soil borings. Mm-hmm. You have to be very specific of what you're going,
which
the depth,
the location, will say what we ordered versus
the location, the depth, mm-hmm. And what they're if they're going for surface water testing, if they're you know mm-hmm. so that kind of prefaces what I'm going to say about. Can you ask him mm-hmm. if any of the testing that would have been done by the EPA mm-hmm. to do with the plume? Because I do know they tested the property multiple times, I believe, if any of that testing would give any information that he's looking for, because then there would be a cost savings, because they definitely...
Well, there's not. That's an ongoing.
Yeah.
That's an ongoing thing. I think there's specific areas of the property that have wells that they test periodically.
Right, they have come checked different...
Right.
I know that they've checked the property, because I actually called for my own property, and... So would there be any savings if they already have those tests, is what I'm asking. Not
yes,
asking
I will
what,
pose that
yeah,
to him.
If he's looking for specific.
Certainly.
I think one of his specific concerns is the cinder track, though, right?
Yes, the cinder track.
Right, which they probably haven't tested.
Right.
But,
yes.
Which is important if we're going for referendum and we don't mm-hmm. know the costs. And I agree with that, but I'm just...
I understand.
I'm open to what the previous happened, so...
One question I asked him was, the cost of putting the RFP together, is that an additional cost for the board if you opt to do this? And he said, no, that's part of the contract that you approved with him going back, it's probably about 60 days ago now, the $7,500 or $7,800. You approved a contract with Edwards Engineering, and he does that as part of that cost. So there would not be a cost for him to prepare the RFP. Anything else?
Okay.
Excellent.
I have the School Board Recognition Month resolution I would like to read. Whereas the New Jersey School Boards Association has declared January 2015 to be School Board Recognition Month, a time that all residents might acknowledge the contributions made by our local school board members, and whereas the Manasquan Board of Education is one of more than 581 local school boards in New Jersey that sets policies and oversees operations for public school districts. And whereas the Manasquan Board of Education embraces the goal of high-quality education for all New Jersey public school students, and whereas New Jersey's local school boards help determine community goals for the education of approximately 1.4 million children in pre-kindergarten through 12th grade, and whereas New Jersey's 4,800 local school board members who receive no remuneration for their services act as advocates for public school students as they work with administrators, teachers, and parents for the betterment of public education, and whereas school boards strive to provide the resources necessary to meet the needs of all students, including those with special needs, and whereas boards of education provide accountability to the public, they communicate the needs of the school district to the public, and they convey to the school administrators the public's expectations for the schools. And whereas New Jersey can take pride in its schools, which rank among the nation's best in indicators such as high school graduation rates, class size, college entrance exam participation, and advanced placement offerings and test scores. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Manasquan Board of Education does hereby recognize the service of local school board members throughout New Jersey as we join communities statewide in observing January 2015 as School Board Recognition Month. And be it further resolved that the Manasquan Board of Education urges all New Jersey citizens to work with their local boards of education and public school staffs toward the improvement of our children's education. Lynn and I wanted to make sure that this resolution was in tonight's agenda to thank all the board members for their participation and all the time that they take away from their families to help the children of the Manasquan school community. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And with that, we also have a certificate of appreciation presented to each board member in recognition of outstanding dedication and commitment to the Manasquan Board of Education, signed by Lynn and myself. And we wanted to just thank you for this. Tom? Lynn, would you like to say anything?
I think you said it wonderfully, Dr. Cajun. Thank you to all of our board members for everything that you do and all the time that you put in for the students of our district.
Heather? Thank you. Colleen? Fred? Jim. Pat. Eric. Ted. And his moms. Thank you. Do we want to go into the PowerPoint for the if we could, under the superintendent's report, everyone got a copy of the current referendum, and this was like the second or third time we're looking at it. There are some changes in what you have tonight that were requested by the parent teachers organization from the elementary school, and I would like to go through each particular page just to see if anybody has any suggestions, as we move to our January 27th meeting, where we're going to have the architect and the engineer there, we're also going to invite the community. Are there things that you would like us to put in or take out? I'd like to focus on them this evening. And Jesse, we do have a PowerPoint for this. It's on there. Everybody does have a copy as well. My friend.
You want
it? I think I have one. Here we go. Got it. We can go through this any way you'd like. If you'd like to go through it page by page or just go to search pages.
I mean, does anybody have any specific questions that have come up that they would like to address now or something that we can ask of the garrisons between now and next week when they present? That's really kind of what we're doing.
What
this
are the
exercise
specific
for.
Changes that we're talking about?
Changes in the
community center renovation.
This is one. At the elementary school, one of the PTO asked us to focus on a playground. Now, this is not the playground. This is the rendition that we received from Edwards Engineering, focusing on a type of playground they just put in an elementary school. However, this is for pre-K to three. I believe the PTO is focusing on sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, not pre-K to three, but it's in there just to bring it to the public's attention that playground equipment will be part of the referendum. And what I would like to see done with your approval is have the PTO sit down with the building administration in the elementary school, go through catalogs and pick out some types of equipment that they would like to have incorporated in the referendum, and then have Edwards find a place to put them on the ground.
Yeah, what is the prospective location for them?
And that's another thing that Edwards has to tell us, because where would they be placed? We do have some land that's pretty far away from the school building itself that has to be cultivated. Right now there's a lot of foliage on that land. That's our land, but it's not being used for anything. That could be filled in and we could put a playground there. I don't know if that's opportune property for that, but this is something Edwards has to tell us. But again, it was something, a request from the PTO. I felt it was important to pay attention to. That's why I'm bringing it to you this evening. Yes?
A playground, Frank? Aside from the one over there?
There's the little upper, which is for
right.
The primary grades, which is, it goes up, I think they can only play there till second,
mm-hmm.
And then
right.
The third graders go in the back.
Okay.
So they're talking third through eighth.
Right.
A field, something for play, some sort of play equipment for them, because they're talking about getting rid of the swings and, you know.
Actually,
when you
the swings was how this whole came about,
yes.
This discussion. And one of the things about swings is that they pose a danger. And just to bring that back to our immediate knowledge, the fact that a child got hurt this
right.
week on the springs, swings. So I would not say we should get more swings. However, there's other pieces of equipment that we can get that could be used for recreation for the children. And the question is, where would you put them? But again, it's a need that we have. Let's address it now. And before the referendum is finalized, let's see exactly what those pieces of equipment would cost and where would they be placed. And tonight, since we'll be discussing this as we move to the January 27th meeting, I felt it was important for you to look at it.
Well, one thing that was definitely, I was in the presentation at the PTO meeting, and there was a lot of rumblings around where I was sitting about removing, and you heard it, they spoke up about taking away space from the cafeteria.
Right.
You thought it was more of a scheduling thing, that there could be an opportunity to have more in the larger cafeteria. Something to maybe think of if there is potential to have special ed classrooms in there, as well as maybe the soundproofing. But I do know that there was about taking away space in there. I'm not in there, I haven't been in there a lot, but those who go in there and visit a lot and are in the classrooms doing the art projects and stuff said that it's packed in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think this is page 11, and actually that shows an aerial view of what we're talking about. And I think page 12 might have a, yes, page 12. Heather's talking about the cafeteria on page 12. You can see where we kept it at 1,700 square feet, and there's also two special education rooms and a special education office there. Thinking about bringing children back to district who are currently out of district, but developing programs for them that would suit their needs here. My suggestion would be, because of what we heard at the PTO meeting, is just to remove that from the presentation. And down the road, if we decide to do something with the cafeteria, because they find out that the large cafeteria, I guess this is the cafeteria, the one's the cafeteriorium.
Cafeteria.
Yeah, cafeteria.
They got all these weird names.
Yeah. So, we could always, at a nominal cost, put walls in there if we decided down the road to do that.
So I think that's what they were saying. For those of, weren't you on the board when they
yes.
did that renovation?
Yeah. Right. And the thing
wasn't the planning, that's why they made it so big?
Exactly. That's what they said that they were, and there's lots of storage behind through those double doors on both sides.
Right.
There was a lot of storage. And I know in the smaller cafeteria, now that I'm thinking about it, when you said art appreciation, because I was on art appreciation, the PTO has, and I think they still have the cabinets in the back, and we're cramped. I mean, we try and put as much as we can back there, but we always ask for our own little closet with a door, which would be great. I don't know if there's some way of incorporating it, but PTO has no space.
Right, they have,
to put
that, and they brought that to my attention.
Yeah.
So my suggestion would be to the board, just remove those walls and just leave it a cafeteria as it appears there. I don't see a need at this particular time to do that.
Are you talking about the walls in the rear of the cafeteria?
Yeah, just take
where
it out.
Where those two outdoors are?
Yeah, just keep it a cafeteria for now. Okay, and the other is they asked for a media center, and the media center is on there. And when the architect's in district, he's going to walk through the media center and speak to some teachers, as well as the building principal, as well as the media specialist who's there, and ask them for some suggestions. And then he will sit down and take some of their ideas, and then he'll come up with some ideas for us on how to do some renovations in the media center, because that was another thing that was brought to my attention. And I think that they need input. I think the teachers need input. I think the media specialist needs input to tell us exactly what their vision is, and then the architect can help them. So that's the other change. So those are the two changes that were from the elementary school. And the rest of the presentation is as we presented it the last time. Yes, Heather?
One thing I have a question. You know, in the past, we've spoken of like state requirements of where we are in our state requirements. And we've gotten with the previous temporary superintendent was, well, there's a lot of schools that aren't up to state standards with, like Spanish being, I believe, aren't they, state requirement is teaching Spanish from kindergarten or first grade on?
Well, what we have to do is teach a world language in kindergarten through third grade, and then fourth grade have a focus, so.
Which I know that we're not currently doing. Does, just thinking ahead, if we were to try to get to the state standards, if our goal is to get to the state standards and do that, should we be, is it a class size issue that we're not doing it now? Is it a classroom issue?
Well, I'm really remiss, Heather, because I don't think we're not doing that now. And one of the reasons why I felt we needed a director of curriculum and instruction, and that's one of the things on my organizational chart when I presented it, and that's one of the reasons that we're going to talk to Barbara Kerensky about that in September. I don't want to wait to meet state mandates.
Well, yeah,
I
think last year, I mean, last year we were not. Last year we were not, and I don't think, what grade is Lillian now?
First.
Is she doing Spanish?
Not to my
knowledge. No.
Well, we want to rectify that.
Yeah, I think they start Spanish in third. I think they start Spanish in third or fourth grade.
Okay. Well, I have to find out why, so you will.
So that's my point of bringing it up in this is that, what is the reason why? Is it because we don't have the classrooms for them to be taking Spanish? That does, for me, it probably is not the case, because I would think that a teacher could go on a cart and teach Spanish.
Sure, they do, yeah.
The kids now go to, yeah.
Because next year we're proposing, there are seven curriculums that we want to write this summer that we're presenting to the board at budget time. and we also want to focus on the language. And they did take a survey of the students. The language that the students said they were interested in was Italian for next year, because I felt there should be another language offered. As well as with New Jersey Virtual School, I thought we should offer Mandarin, Chinese, and Latin. So that's something we're looking forward to doing, not next year. We'll offer Latin next year when we talk about the budget. But the following year with New Jersey Virtual School, utilizing our computer technology, hopefully be able to also offer the students a fourth and fifth language that they could take in lieu of study halls that we have. Because one of the things I want to do is move away from the study halls as we have them now and offer the children, the students, some academics.
But you're talking, that's what you're talking about in high school, right?
Right.
Right, I'm talking, yeah.
I know, in doing that, we really want to, we want to make sure that we have a foundation of this in the elementary school. So yes, I'll definitely take a look at that for you.
Didn't we have an issue with Latin for the high school, a teacher?
That was French.
French, thank you.
But the New Jersey Virtual School is, get the guarantee with teacher and materials, and you do it on the internet. Okay. Anything else in the packet that you want to take a look at? Those were the changes that are in this packet to prepare for the 27th. And anything I can give the architect and the engineer a heads up on? We still have the science labs. One of the things I would like to see, you want to go to the science labs? If you take a look at the footprint of the science labs, and you take a look at the bottom where it shows the top floor, I was wondering about extending the science labs out a little bit more so they went to exactly the front of the building. I want to see what they say about that. You can see them in purple right there. We extended them out to the front of the building. I don't know why we didn't do that. I'm going to talk to the architects about that. To me, it's still as aesthetic, and it will give us more square footage in the classroom. Possibly they only built them to state specifications and didn't think about giving us more square footage. When we sat down, Jesse and I, with the teachers of science, and they asked me for more square footage in their classroom. So if they need it, then we're going to do it. I don't see why we can't look at that. So maybe it was because of the elevation of the land. I don't know. But I will talk to them about that. So don't be surprised next week if, on the 27th, if they extend that for us. They are doing it on the top level, as you can see from the footprint there. Go back to the next slide, Jared, so you can see how they extended it out. Another change, but it doesn't appear in the packet that you have, but it was brought to me by the science teachers as well as the supervisors of the high school. They like to put a second level on the cafeteria, so they could have more students in the cafeteria and have a stairway on the inside going up to a second level that was around the cafeteria, so they could have less study hall and more children in the lunches that we have, so therefore it afford us the opportunity for more classes if we needed to have it. That was a suggestion made by the supervisors, so I will ask the architects. HVAC system is very important, and that's something that has to be looked at, as we have three different ones and we have to do it manually instead of doing it with the computer now, with the controls in the high school. Also, safety and security with the vestibules, as well as the fire alarm system in the elementary school, needs to be looked at. And the doors from 1931, the locks all should be the same. So these are things that are sort of necessary that are in the reference package. Questions about anything? You good? I don't want to belabor the point. Thank you.
I know it was a while. Yeah, they were talking about it at the PTO meeting. I guess Erica Neal was on at the time. She was saying that's what the plan was. That's why they built that so big, so that they could utilize that space down the road if they need to.
Okay, next week we'll have our student board representative report. We're now to our first public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer, shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Do we have anybody from the public that would like to be heard on the agenda? Seeing no one. Does anyone on the board have any question about agenda items for Manasquan? We will have one action item, but I wanted to just see if anybody had questions first on any of the agenda items for next week. Seeing no one, we will now go to Manasquan Senate District items. Anyone have a question on any of the Senate District items for the agenda? Seeing no one, we need a motion for item L, recommend approval of the following Manasquan High School final exam schedule. Mr. Walsh, seconded by Mr. Clayton. Any discussion? Sandy?
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Gardner?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Mueling?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale? Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Carrie?
Thank you. Moving on to old and new business, I do have one item, or two items. Dr. Cajun and I received an email today from Mrs. Walsh, and Mrs. Walsh instructed me to tell everyone that she has resigned, effective immediately. So we will now go through the process of selecting another board member. I have the policy for which we will do that. I reviewed it with Mr. Gross earlier, and by a majority vote of the remaining members of the Board of Education, after the vacancy occurs in all other cases, this is an all other case because she resigned. So we will have an expiring 1 year term.
Thank you.
Expiring 1 year term?
It'll be the remainder of
This year. So it'll be basically a.
Because her term expires.
Right, a 9 to 10 month appointment.
On December.
Correct. So the board secretary shall promptly notify the president of the vacancy. The board will give public notice of the vacancy and invite all qualified persons to submit a written request for consideration of his or her candidacy for the vacancy. The board may also require candidates to submit a resume with their written request. In considering candidates who have expressed an interest in the vacancy, the Board of Education may interview candidates in public or in executive session. The board must vote to appoint a candidate to a vacancy in public session, and there shall be no decisions made in executive session. In the event interviews are conducted in executive session, board members in the public session, nomination and voting process, shall express their opinion in support of their votes so the public can witness any deliberations, policy formulation, and the decision-making process of the board. What we've done in the past, I mean, most everyone here knows, we've accepted applications, we've conducted the interviews in public, and we then appoint. I'm sorry?
But then did, has this been changed since the last time? Because then there was deliberation in private.
There was no public vote. There was deliberation in private. So whatever correct. We do should be done in public.
Correct.
Because when I was appointed policy. Before I was elected,
correct.
The interviews were done in public, and they voted in private.
We didn't vote in private, no. To be clear.
You discussed,
we
and, then
discussed
took
it,
and took a consensus.
There was
well,
a
no,
cons-
I was told that
there was a consensus.
So I don't know how you get deadlocked if you didn't vote.
There was a consensus that we were deadlocked.
We didn't vote.
Just to be clear, there wasn't a vote because we can't vote in public.
The votes have to be done in public.
Right.
What was done in private, though? Just
there,
out of
there was a consensus. There was a consensus in private that we could not come to a determination.
And then what?
There's certainly, under the law, there is, it's permissible for the district to deliberate after the interviews are conducted, because the interviews could even be conducted in public if you so desired.
In private.
They were.
I'm sorry, in private.
In private.
So the deliberation of the board members to discuss the candidates who interviewed can be done in private session, provided that the vote is done in public session.
But there was no vote. I mean, this is just a lot of the fun we had prior to.
But just to be clear, we did exactly what Mr. Gross said. We talked about it, we talked about the qualifications of the candidates in executive session, and then we didn't vote publicly because we knew that there was a deadlock, but we didn't vote privately, just to be clear.
Just to be clear for future going forward.
It won't matter because we're going to do it publicly.
Because we're not going to do that, because we all know you can call it what you want.
I'm not calling it what I want. I'm telling you what happened. I was there. You weren't there. I was there.
But this is a futile exercise. How would you have known how the vote went if you didn't vote?
Because we discussed it in private.
Well, because we're dealing in semantics.
Yeah.
The word vote.
Exactly.
Is different than the word consensus, is different than the word straw poll, is different than the word opinion, which is permissible in private session while you're deliberating on any issues. You have to come out to vote. You have to do that in public. You can't vote officially. That's why you can deliberate. You can take a straw poll. You can look for a consensus. You could do all of those things in private session. You just can't vote in private session on any issue except for the filing of tenure charges. The vote has to be done in public session. Now, that's why we're just dealing in semantics.
It is semantics. You're saying
that there had to be a vote in public, in private session, and what Mr. Pellegrino is saying is there wasn't a vote in private session. There was a deliberation. There was a consensus. There was discussion. There was a polling. And both of you are right. There was not a vote in private session.
Michael, I'm a little sensitive to it only because it was me. The truth of the matter is there should have been a vote. But it's past its prologue. That's not going to happen again.
And I wasn't there either, but I just...
Shortly thereafter.
So I can't say what actually occurred, but I could tell you under the law, it's not permitted to have a vote in private session.
But Michael, you do agree by saying the consensus or high diddle diddle or whatever, they were deadlocked and they couldn't come out and have a vote. I mean, it's the pretzel logic of it all. You can poll and have a consensus. You should come out and have a vote. That's all I'm saying.
But you're not required to do that. Because the statute, because what the statute says and what the law says is if the board cannot reach a majority to fill the vacancy within the period of time, that's when it goes to the executive county superintendent. So whether the board would come out and formally vote and not come to a decision where five people would agree on one candidate,
right,
or the board decides not to vote at all, which they could make that decision not to vote at all and let the time period pass, the statute applies to both of those. But that's the board's decision to make whether they want to come out and vote and not show a majority, or the board decides not to vote at all. But that's the board decision to make.
We can move on, but okay. Did they vote on whether or not they were going to vote?
I don't know. I wasn't here.
Just out of curiosity, because
I don't remember what the discussion was about voting in public. I just remember that there was a clear deadlock.
In the
straw poll.
No, there wasn't.
And therefore, it was didn't serve any purpose to come out and vote publicly. I would assume that was the decision, but I don't recall if we said, should we have a straw poll to see if we go out and vote in public? I don't remember exactly that conversation. But I do remember that there was no consensus to either candidate. I do remember that.
So, Pump, how did that end? If we were...
The county superintendent.
Okay. I don't know.
That's the same situation that would occur now.
So we had a deadlock,
if we don't have
just
a majority.
Like what happened last session. Okay.
So I guess the question, though, becomes in this round, when you will be sending out a request for resumes and you'll be reviewing them, interviewing people in public, whether you're going to deliberate in executive session before you come out to vote again is a decision the board would make as to how
correct
you want to proceed this time.
Correct.
Because you're not required to deliberate in private session.
I would think you have that option. I would think it would behoove us to at least do a vote in public, because otherwise, if you're speaking, let's just say, for purposes, if there's banter back and forth and people are going back and forth and this and we don't, And we're not taking a vote, so we don't really know how people are going to go. And you say, you know what? It's not going my way, who I want. I'm going to say, we couldn't come to a consensus. We're not going to take a vote. And everyone else is sitting there going, how do you know which way I'm going to vote? Just like we have back and forth here at the table, we banter back and forth, and sometimes people's votes change.
I think we should just be honest, because I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
You can hold a gun to my head. I wasn't in a room. That's pretty much.
We don't use the word guns in school.
Okay.
But yes, we will. What we're going to do this time, is, if everybody's comfortable, is we're going to have the interviews in public, and then we'll vote public. So as long as everybody's comfortable with that, that's how we'll proceed.
I think it'll be good.
All right. The other thing I have is I asked last month for. I'm sorry?
We'll look for that.
What is the.
I just need to know.
So would the board like for Ms. Coates to advertise that we are looking for a Board of Education member and that all applications should be received into the board office no later than February 15th? Would that be everybody be comfortable then? And we could do the interviews at the February work session, and we could appoint somebody no later than the February meeting. Is everybody comfortable with that timeline?
Is there a specific amount of time that we have?
We have 60 days.
That's it.
Yeah. 60 days.
So that's well within our, you know.
And do we reach out to those who ran?
They're going to read it. It's going to be a public announcement.
Yeah, publicly.
And the fine gentleman from the Co-Star is here, so it'll be in his article this week, and everybody will know about it. Everybody's comfortable with that timeline?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
The timeline. Thank you.
Next, I did ask last month for anyone who was interested in being on the negotiations committee. I have presently Mr. Clayton and Mr. Serino. And Mr. Walsh, so that committee's full. We will be putting together an ad hoc committee to go over the budget prior to the public presentations to get some input. So anyone who would like to be involved in the budget process, please just send me an email, similar to what we did with negotiations, and I will put that together. All right, same thing. Hopefully before the next meeting, if you could send me an email this week, and then at the next week's meeting, I will tell you where we are with that. And that's all I have. Does anybody else have any old or new business? See no one. We're getting there. We are now to the second public forum. Anyone who would like to be heard on any non-agenda or agenda item?
North Main Street. I wanted to ask Mr. Cleveland, on the Criminal Justice Academy that you're talking about, I'm assuming you know that there is a vocational one already in place in Long Branch.
Mm-hmm.
I am inquiring, are you going to make that an academy, or are you going to keep it more vocational like now? Because they have different standards, different admission requirements, than the academies are all for the high-end students, where the vocational welding,
criminal justice, that type of stuff is not.
Are you going to keep it more vocational, or are you going to make it an academy with the same type of standards to get in the other academies?
My focus for the academy is to ask as many questions as I can of the surrounding state police and also the sheriff's department, and also find out exactly what has been developed in Neptune and Long Branch. From what I understand now, that once you develop a criminal justice format, it's most comfortable to be associated with some type of law enforcement agency. That question has to be posed to us and find out exactly what agency we'd like to also parallel ourselves with, what would be most advantageous for us. The reason why we decided, when I say we, the administration and myself, to put it off a year is to have a planning year and to see exactly what would suit our community. So to answer your question, I don't know what direction it's going to be. And the reason why it's an academy is because it's going to be focused on law enforcement and criminal justice.
Right. Well, that Monmouth County Vocational Law Enforcement one at Long Branch is a 2-year program for juniors and seniors, full day. I've already inquired about it. My son's interested in it. But I wanted, I obviously, I'd rather have him go here than Lone Branch every day. But I wanted to see what your requirements are going to be, academy versus vocational.
Way, with that question for me, it's way in front of the development yet. I have to sit down with those people who are going to be actively engaged in the planning process, pose that question, bring it to the committee of a whole, and we'll talk about that and feel what suits our community the best.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Seeing no one else, executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides that the Massachusetts Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Massachusetts Board of Ed go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at the time of the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Massachusetts Board of Education, that the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Personnel matters, number 8, leaves of absence, rescinding of contract, or chaperones. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session.
We don't see that as being the case tonight, right?
I don't see that.
So there won't be action afterwards. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Catani, second. Mrs. Smith, all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?